We are wrapping up a series that we've entitled Everything is Awesome. The truth is, everything is not awesome in life. But the one thing that is really awesome is that you can choose your attitude in all circumstances. That's a point that we've been reminding ourselves of time and time again, every single week. You can choose your attitude in all circumstances. This past week, we had a good Thanksgiving. I hope you guys did too. We were down south with our family. A friend, I got kind of put in a situation where Cynthia and her friend went down to watch a play, and so her friend's husband and her and his two boys and myself and Jordan and Caleb, we went to Bass Pro Shop, which seems to be like a reoccurring event for us. It's like a adult Disneyland. So we go there, and we wanted to. My friend wanted to stop at New Balance store before we got there because they had this half off sale. So we stopped. We went shopping. Come back to the car. Get back in there, and the van is dead. There's nothing. So we waited, and it's like 2 hours. And so basically, it comes down to this point where he's like, look, I got to call a tow truck, and they got to tow my car back to my house, which is going to be at least a half hour, 45 minutes one way. You know LA. So it's half hour one way. And then by the time, I'm going to get another car. I'll come back and meet you guys. But they can't take all of us, so maybe you should get an Uber. I said, no. The boys, we're looking at the map, and we're like, it's just down the street. We can walk from here to Bass Pro. Oh, man. Okay, 5 miles is a long ways if you're not used to walking it all the time. Here's what happened, though. My watch sold me out. If you ever have a smartphone or a smartwatch, my watch sold me out as being fat. I know I'm fat, but the watch sold me out as being fat. My watch, I'm in like mile four, and we're walking like it's brisk walk. You know, I'm thinking, hey, this is a good thing. I need the exercise. So I'm trying to have this, but I'm feeling it, okay? I'm getting not winded, but I'm just feeling it. And then my watch goes off and it says this. It gives me this message. It appears that you're trying to exercise. Like, and I'm like, what the? I could not believe it. I'm like, my watch has never said this. And then, so I'm like, I dismiss. So I'm keep going. And so we're walking and it keeps going off. Please, are you trying to exercise? Is that what's going on? Like, it was confused. It could not figure out. It's never experienced. Hey, Dave exercises, and this is what's happening. So in that, here's what I experienced. Because my watch is making me upset, and then, you know, I'm kind of in this thing where we're walking, and we're getting tired, and we're dealing with attitudes from people and things like that. And it hit me. I can choose joy right here, right now. This isn't like the worst case scenario, but even in this tension, I can choose joy. So I just made a joke about it to everybody who was there. Everybody laughed at me, like you guys did. But that's the point of this series. You know, challenges come to all of us. Challenges, we all face challenges in our lives. We all face circumstances that we don't like or that are difficult or things. And if anybody could face these kind of challenges, it was Paul who was writing this letter from prison in Rome. And he's saying, you know what, you can choose your attitude. Because of what Jesus did, you can choose your attitude in all circumstances. In fact, here's a verse he says in Philippians 4:4. He says, always be full of joy in the Lord. Always. That may sound unrealistic to you. Paul seems to think that it's not unrealistic. Now, look, you can write it off. If you want to, it's up to you. You can write it off and say, that's unrealistic, can't do that. You can choose to live however you want. Paul says this, in my experience, this is not unrealistic. I have been through every circumstance that you could imagine, and this is not unrealistic to have joy in every condition. That's important for us to know. If you remember, Paul has been sent, he's going to Philippi, and he's there to start a church, and he's arrested, and he's beaten, and then now he's in the most secure prison, the inner sanctum of this prison, and actually they chained him to a prison guard just to make sure he could not escape, and he's in the most unpleasant of circumstances, and that's where he writes this, always be full of joy in the Lord, and I think he's saying this, I understand, guys. I understand what the times are difficult, and I understand what it feels like when you want to throw in the towel, but I'm also telling you that God is faithful, and God can give you joy in the most difficult times of your life. So you can have joy no matter what. A deep sense of awareness of God's presence and God's activity in your life and in your uncertainties. So that means when things are going difficult or things are not going well with your parents or with your kids or with your life or with your employment, when you're facing times of uncertainties or you need direction or you're just plain discouraged, you can have joy in your life. So we need to be reminded that when we choose to trust God with our lives, that He is in control. And when God's in control, He's going to work everything out for our good. That is important to understand. Your perspective changes. When you understand that God's going to work everything out for your good, all of a sudden it kind of changes how you see things. I may not like this, but if God's going to use this for my good, then maybe I don't need to be unhappy about it. Maybe I don't need to fight it. Maybe I need to embrace it and understand that it's good because God is good. Paul is dealing with a church that he really loves. He started this church, but word has come to him, even while he's in prison, that there are individuals in the church that are fighting. So he's dealing with these people that are having conflict, and in verse 2 and 3, he tells them, listen, get along. You got to choose to get along. And you can read about that if you want on your own, but Paul understands this. He knows that discouragement leads to something that is even more critical. He understands that discouragement affects our perspective and it affects how we live towards the eternal. And Paul understood what was at stake because he is eternally minded. He is looking at this church that he loves. And if I could be honest, it's like sometimes I look at all of us. That's the way God kind of gears pastors, which is what Paul is here. I don't look at you with judgment. I look at you and I look eternally at your lives. Where are these people headed individually? What's going on in their life that's affecting their eternity? That's how Paul's looking at this, and he understands what is at stake. So here's how he starts chapter 4. He writes this, my dear, dear friends, I love you so much. I do want the very best for you. You make me feel such joy. Now fill me with such pride. He says this, so don't waver. Stay on track, steady in God. I like that. Don't waver. Stay on track, steady in God. It's encouragement that we all need. In other words, what he's saying is when it comes to God, don't be undecided. Stay on track. Stay connected to God. Be all in. Don't ride the fence. Be all in. You'll never experience God's goodness in your life if you're riding the fence. If you're saying, you know what, I'm going to make God the most important thing in my life this day, but not this day. So as Paul comes to this last chapter, he gives us this one last joy killer, which is what he's done in the last three chapters. He's said this, you know what, there's these joy killers that will remove what the joy that God is trying to create in your life. And this very last one, he kind of saves the best one or the biggest one for last. It's almost like whatever you do, don't let worry into your life. Don't let worry into your life. It will kill the joy in your life. Worry has this way of creeping in. It distorts the conditions. It distorts our perspective, our circumstances, how we look at life, how we look at people. It really leaves us with a sense of hopelessness. And Paul says, don't worry about anything. They say that the top four worries that we have in our lives, that people have, are health, family, finances, and terrorism. I wasn't aware that terrorism was one that everybody faced, but those are the top four things that people choose to worry about. But here's one of the things we got to understand. It's a fill-in. Worry is a matter of perspective. Worry is a matter of perspective. So your attitude greatly affects your perspective, and worry is an attitude. I don't know about you. I grew up in L.A. In L.A., one of the things that we have earthquakes periodically. I know we don't have them a lot here. Central Valley, thank God, right? But in L.A., we kind of have it. And so if you grow up around earthquakes, it's not that big of a deal. At least it wasn't in our family. I mean, if you're not used to earthquakes, it's a big deal. But when you kind of grow up, you know the drill. You know, you get under a desk if you're at a school. If you're at home, you get in a doorway, you get in a door jam. You just kind of ride it out. Everything shakes and all that kind of stuff. And if you're used to it, it's not a big deal. You know that the danger or the devastation affects a small percentage. Now, I grew up in L.A. We don't have tornadoes. So when I see or if I go or watch on TV about some place about tornadoes, like, I don't even want to go there. Springfield, Missouri, who wants to go there? They have tornadoes. Only people like Howard and Faith want to go there. I don't understand it. But you know what? I did go there. I lived there because I went to school there. And the week before I got there, they had a tornado that went through that town. And I have never seen big trees that were just shredded like toothpicks. And I remember thinking, good night. This is pathetic. I don't want to be here. People are like, oh, don't worry, it's not a big deal. Doesn't affect that many people. You know, nobody was even hurt. Okay, here's what I'm trying to tell you. It depends on where you grow up as to your perspective of danger and what actually is danger. I had this friend, and he came to visit me from back east. And I just kind of thought it'd be fun to play. He was used to tornadoes. I'm at a place where, hey, you know, we're used to earthquakes. So he shows up, and I say this. It's funny that you came this week. They're predicting a great big earthquake. He didn't know that you couldn't predict earthquakes, but I just let him know. Hey, we're predicting this great earthquake. And it freaked him out because his perspective was to be fear. Be fearful of that. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. When we are unsure of something, it affects our perspective and it causes us to worry. If you're unsure of tornadoes, it's going to affect your perspective. It's going to cause you to worry. If you're unsure of earthquakes, if you're unsure of life, it's going to affect your perspective and cause you to worry. If anyone had a reason to worry, it was Paul. Paul actually was on death row, waiting to be executed. And yet Paul's perspective of God was much different than ours, I think. Paul had this joy in his life, even though he's facing the most difficult circumstances. And Paul, one of the keys to joy in Paul's life is this. He says, nothing can prevent God's protection. Look, if you want a key to joy in your life is being aware that nothing can prevent God's protection in your life. If you knew that God was going to protect you, why would you worry? If you were absolutely confident that God was going to protect you, why would you choose to worry? Nothing can get in the way of God's care for you. Not your greatest threats, not your greatest fears, your biggest insecurities, the unknowns of your life, the unknowns about your future, none of it. None of the what ifs can ever get in the way of God's protection in your life. I'm not going to read the whole scripture, but Romans 8:38 tells us this. Paul says, I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. And he goes through this long list of things that we would go, hey, that could. No, it can't. Nothing can separate us from God's love. Paul is speaking from experience, and he's saying this. He's like, I've been through shipwrecks, I've been through snake bites, I've been beaten, I've been flogged, I've almost died, I've been in prison multiple times. And he goes, and I'm telling you, God has kept me through all of it. You don't have to worry. In fact, if you choose worry, it's going to affect the joy in your life. Remember, joy and happiness are much different. Happiness is based on the conditions around us. Joy is what God does inside of us. I've been reading the scripture throughout the series, but it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And I'll say it again, rejoice. But the next verse, verse 5, says this, the key. It says, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. You are always going to have joy when you recognize God's presence is close to you. That you're not in this alone. You're not by yourself. You're not in this, and God is far off watching. He is right there with you. So we mentioned this in our last series, but what we worry about most reveals what we value most, and what we worry about most reveals where we trust God least. I don't know what you worry about. I really don't. But I do know this, what you choose to worry about is about what you value most, but it's also where you trust God least. We don't like to hear that, but I'll tell you this, what I worry most about is my boys. Not because they're bad guys, they're great guys, but I value them. And you know what? I also realize that it might be where I'm trusting God least. And so when we realize that, it becomes a barometer sort of for us where you get to go like this. Hey, if this is something that's causing worry, then obviously I'm not trusting God in this like I could or should. And I need to be aware of that. I need to be aware of that with my boys personally. When our perspective gets corrected, when we actually become convinced that God is near, that God protects us, then what it does is it subsides and it removes the worries in our lives. And Paul points out why we don't have to worry. And I want to mention those. He says, you don't have to worry about what will happen when you know who's in charge. You don't have to worry about what will happen in your life when you know who's in charge. Now look, if you're in charge, you might want to worry. If you're in charge of your life, you might want to worry. Not because you're a bad person, but because your resources are finite. Your intellectual abilities are finite. When God's in control, they're unlimited. And so my question is, who is in charge in your life? Do you know that God's in charge of your life? Have you given your life to Christ and you made him in charge? Because God wants to fill you with joy, just knowing that he is in charge of your life. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says this, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. And his peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So who is in charge of your life? If you're his child, then God is your father and he's looking out for you. You don't have to worry. You don't have to worry about what will happen when you know who's in charge. Another reason you don't have to worry is we don't have to worry about anything when we believe God's involved in everything. It's not just about being in charge, but when you don't have to worry about anything if you're aware that God is involved in everything in your life. And sometimes we don't believe that. We just tend to think that God is involved in my spiritual things, but not in my life. Not in the real problems of my life. Because here's our I think a lot of our way we look at it. Why would God allow something difficult in my life to happen? So God can't be involved. The truth is, God always allows something difficult in our lives because it grows our faith. It causes us to trust him. If God made our lives pleasant and peaceful without any problems, we would never, our faith would not grow. We would experience happiness based on the conditions, but not joy. So we've got to understand that. You don't have to worry about anything when you believe that God's involved in everything. And not worrying about anything doesn't mean you don't do anything. A lot of people feel that way. They feel like, you know what? I don't have to worry about anything, so I'm just not going to do anything. Look, sometimes there are things you cannot do. There's nothing to do. So you have to choose not to worry in those situations. But let's just say you lost your job or you need a job. You can build a resume, and you need to build a resume, and you need to send that resume out. You can't just sit down and go, you know what? I lost my job. God's going to have to do something. No, what you can do is build a resume. You can send it out. You can pound the pavement. You can knock on doors. You can do everything that you can do. Those are things you can do. And then when you have done all that you can do, you trust God with what you can't. You can't make sure that they hire you. You trust God in that area. Sometimes, what if your marriage is facing challenges? I'm not going to do anything. No, get involved in a connection group. Ask for help. Go to counseling. Start praying together. Start doing something together. Some are afraid they'll never get married. Start meeting people. Get out there. Maybe it's take a bath. Guys, wear deodorant. That helps. Whatever you need, there are things you can do. You choose to say, hey, I'm not going to wear deodorant. Then you're probably not going to meet anybody because you stink. But, you know. Look, there are times when we can do something, but there are times when we can't. You can't heal loved ones who are sick, but God can. You can't change your spouse. You can't change your neighbor. You can't change your friends, but God can. I can't protect my kids, but God can. You see what I'm saying? I can't control the future, but God is there in the future. My worry can't change anything, but my God can. So here is another one that he gives us. We won't worry about anything when we pray about everything that concerns us. You won't worry about everything when you learn to pray. That's what he tells us in Philippians 4, 6. The first part of it, he says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. And I think that that's a problem that we have. We don't tell God what we need. We think God knows it all. So God should understand, hey, this is what I need. But God wants us to ask. God is not interested in your elaborate expressions of vocabulary in prayer. He's not worried about your eloquence in how you speak to him. He's not worried about if you use the right terminology or if you have the right doctrine. He wants you to ask, and he wants you to trust him. And Paul says, present your requests, your cares, your needs. Give them to God. God says, our God responds to prayer, so pray. That's what he's trying to get us to do. We also won't worry about anything when we thank him for everything that he's already done. We just went through this Thanksgiving season. We're still in this Thanksgiving season. This is a very important issue. Thankfulness prevents worry. And I'd like you to consider something maybe. Thankfulness is not an option, it's an obligation. I don't mean it's an obligation as it's in something you have to do. It's a responsibility that we all should be doing because it is a necessary response to the generosity of God in your life. Thankfulness is a necessary response to the generosity of God in your life. And that's what Paul says, tell God what you need and thank him for all that he's done. If you're looking for an equation of how this adds up and how this plays out, it would look like this, prayer plus thankfulness equals peace. So that's Paul's equation right there. Telling God what you need, being thankful, produces peace. And peace is that calm that's established within us when we're confident that nothing happens in our life that God has not allowed for a purpose. God wants your heart at ease. You remember the story. Jesus is on the Sea of Galilee as the disciples are with him. Remember? A big storm erupts. Disciples freak out. They're all scared. Where's Jesus? He's at the front of the boat and he's asleep. They wake him up and they say, "Don't you care that we're perishing?" And Jesus stands up and he looks and he goes, "Peace," and this storm just stops. You remember the story. Jesus says, "Where's your faith? Where's your faith? Don't you know who you're dealing with here? I've got this under control. Ask me. Don't have to worry about it. Your worry's not going to change anything. Asking me will." Paul also says we don't have to worry about the worst possible outcome when we know who's with us. You don't have to worry about the worst possible outcome when you know who's with you. And I just have a feeling we tend to think of the worst case scenario. We tend to look at the worst possible outcome that could happen when we face life. It's almost like it's a protection for us. We want to be prepared for the worst case scenario, so we have to think about the worst case scenario, and that challenges us to get into this bad place, because if we start thinking about the worst case, what we're actually doing is we're projecting a future without God's activity in our lives. Paul tells us it's a matter of how you think. How you think is really important, because how you think affects your attitude. And here's what Paul tells us in Philippians 4, 8, and 9. He says, "Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely, admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise," like we talked about earlier. Not the worst case scenario. He goes down and he says this, "Then God's peace will be with you." I just think we need to train our minds to think about the best possible scenario that could happen with God's activity, rather than the worst. And Paul says, think about what you can thank God for and stop thinking about what you're afraid God won't do for you. Stop thinking about what you think God won't do rather than what God can do and what you think God will do. 2 Corinthians 10 is not on your notes, but 2 Corinthians 10:5 tells us that we're supposed to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. And what it's telling us is it's our responsibility to choose your thoughts. It's our responsibility to choose our thoughts. So as you choose your thoughts, that affects your attitude, you can choose your attitude. Last one here is this. We don't have to worry about what we have when we know who satisfies. You don't have to worry about what you have or what you don't have when you know who satisfies. In fact, knowing that God will provide for all of your needs, not all of your wants, is a secret, I think, to contentment. Paul says, "I've learned to be content with whatever I have." He knows what it's like to live with a lot. He knows what it's like to live with just a little. He says, "I can do everything through Christ who gives me the strength that I need." The truth is God will meet your needs, not necessarily your wants. And when I know that God meets my needs, I can be convinced that he's all I need. I hope you found that to be true in your life. You don't have to worry about your life. Jesus dealt with this. He says, you don't have to worry about what you wear or what you eat. He says, "God, look at the birds of the air. Look at the lilies of the field." Jesus says, "Your Father takes care of them. How is he not going to take care of you?" I believe this. I believe that you can choose joy when you know that God is the one who meets the needs of your life. You don't have to worry. Paul says, this is not about God favoring me more than God favoring you. He says, God favors you too. And that's how, go back to the scripture that we talked about earlier in our prayer time. He says, this same God who takes care of me will supply all of your needs from his glorious riches, which we have been given in Christ Jesus. Don't let worry take up residence in your heart. Your Father in heaven cares about you. Your Father in heaven is with you. You're not in this alone. This is a great opportunity for you to trust him and to learn to trust him. Even though things might appear dark, you have the light with you. We're going to sing a song right now. The band's going to lead us in this song. The song is called "Lord, Come and Fill This Place." And basically what this song is saying is, God, come and fill the crevices of my life. Fill this place. Fill my heart. Remove the doubts. Remove the fears. Remove the anxieties. Remove the worries. Allow your presence, God, to resonate and to sit right here. And this is not just a song, but I believe worship changes the way that we think. Even in this song, you can stop thinking about the scenarios, the worst case scenarios, without God's activity. And even in this song, you can start looking and imagining what the future looks like with a God who is faithful, with a God who loves you, and a God who's present with you. Paul tells us this, that worry will naturally kill the joy that God is trying to produce inside of you. And here's what he says, worry kills joy because it minimizes God's power and protection. It causes us to forget and not to focus on God's power in our lives and God's protection for our lives. So when we minimize that, worry increases. But worry kills joy because it minimizes God's presence and God's activity in our circumstances. And as I said earlier, a lot of times the greatest source of worry is when we imagine a future without God's activity and without God's presence there. We're fine with God, with believing that God is with us today, with us in what we're dealing with right now. We think about the future and somehow it becomes void of God's presence and God's activity. And that is a scenario without peace. That is a scenario with worry. Last one, worry kills joy because it minimizes God's love and concern for your life. One thing that the enemy wants to do, and he wants us to forget that God loves you and he's concerned about you. Any way that the enemy can cause you to forget God's love is a success. Because when you forget that God loves you and that God's concerned about you, you are going to naturally start worrying. That's why Paul said, hey, there's absolutely nothing that can separate us from God's love. Because what he wants is he wants us to be completely at peace, full of joy. There's nothing too great for God's power. There's nothing too small for God's care in your life. One scripture I want to remind you of, 1 Peter 5:7, really sums this up well, and it says this: give all of your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. I'd like you to close your eyes if you would. Give all of your worries and cares to God. Why? Because he cares about you. Somehow, some way, we've got to be convinced that God cares about the things going on in our lives, and not just the things going on in our lives, but he cares about us. I got to be reminded that God cares about my boys more than I do. God cares about my wife more than I do. God cares about the things that I worry about more than I do, and I have to remind myself that God loves me. He cares about what I'm going through. I just want to encourage you, with your eyes closed, everybody's eyes closed. I just want you to hear me out in this. At some point, I can sit here like Paul and I can beg you to experience God's joy, but it's up to you. It's your choice. I can tell you how great it is, and I can tell you how it is so much more fulfilling in your life rather than happiness, but you know what? It's still up to you. Because I know this. I know that you go through conflict. I know that you go through times of uncertainty. We all do. What are you thinking about, and are you choosing joy? Are you choosing to remind yourself that God is present and active, that God loves you and he's concerned about you, that God will protect you? Are you convinced? It's your choice. I would love for you to choose joy. I would love for you to experience that more than anything. I really would, but it's your choice. Father, we're all left here with choices to make. There's some here that need to choose to make you the center of their life. They need to choose to surrender their lives to you so that they could enter into a relationship with you. We need to choose to surrender to your control in our lives. It's a choice. Father, help those that want to begin that relationship with you, that want you at the core of their life. They want their lives to be about you. Father, as they make that choice today, may you bring forgiveness into their life. May you just remove the past and the shame and the guilt and allow them to experience your joy and your presence in their lives. Father, for those that have that, and we've chosen you, but Father, we failed to choose joy. We failed to choose to think about what our lives look like and what our circumstances look like with a God who is faithful, a God who loves us. Help us to choose our thoughts, that we might choose our attitude, and we might be full of you. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.